In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to you all. A blessed New Year. Yesterday was the circumcision and naming of Jesus, and so that's what we'll be celebrating today. It's a really neat day to think about how Jesus gets his name, the covenant that he keeps for our sakes. You can tell my voice is mostly back, probably 90% back, so we'll see how the liturgy goes this morning and the readings and things. Sometimes it gives out, we'll see. Better than last week, that's for sure. I heard you had a great time singing some hymns, and thanks for leading that, Marty, and for elders for reading. Thank you for that. I was just not a bit well. My voice was gone. Just completely gone. And then today we also have the installation of our officers, church officers. Now, because of our installation of officers, we're skipping our opening hymn and the confession and absolution, which is not necessary for all services, but it's certainly a good thing to do. And we continue then with our opening psalmody from Psalm 8, and the congregation will then please stand. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, and the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Now that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou blessest us at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou
with you
and with my spirit. Let us pray.
Lord God, you made your beloved Son, our Savior, subject to the law, and caused him to shed his blood on our behalf. Grant us the true circumcision of the Spirit, that our hearts may be made pure from all sins, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, I forgot to say one thing during the announcements there at the beginning. I was tested on Thursday or Wednesday, I can't remember now, Doc, for everything under the sun as far as what they swab for, and I came back negative for everything and even pregnancy, so I'm not pregnant. I don't know how you do that through a swab. I have no idea. So I just want to let you know that. I'm still going to be cautious of everything. I think I'm through it. My voice is kind of still needs a little bit of healing to return. So I just want to let you know that. Okay. Our Old Testament reading for the naming and circumcision of Jesus is from Numbers chapter 6. This is often called the Aaronic benediction from Aaron. Not ironic, but Aaronic. This we say at the end of our divine services, Pastor does, but it can also be spoken by you to your children or to anyone in a personal setting. And you see there the capital L-O-R-D for Lord, and what's really there truly in the Hebrew is Yahweh. So every time you come across L-O-R-D capitalized, or sometimes even G-O-D capitalized, that is actually where the word Yahweh is, which is the name of God, which God revealed to Moses in the burning bush. I am who I am. So I'll read it as such. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We speak together our verse of the week. Alleluia. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Alleluia. Yeah, and there you see, call his name Jesus, which in Hebrew would be Joshua, or more pronouncing correctly in the Hebrew tongue, Yahshua, Yahweh is salvation. So there you see that name again, right there within Jesus' name. It is Jesus' name. He is God. Our epistle is from Galatians chapter 3. St. Paul writes, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Yahshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess the faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
May be seated for our sermon hymn 900, Jesus, Name of Wondrous Love. God commanded our grandfather Abraham to circumcise his infant male children at the age of 8 days. This was to be the sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham and with his descendants after him. In the Bible, a covenant is cut. It isn't signed or sealed. It is cut. It always involves the shedding of blood. The covenant God made with Abraham was that God would be his God, and that Abraham and his children would be God's people. God promised to make Abraham the father of many nations. He promised that his 90-year-old wife, Sarah, would bear a son and call his name Isaac. He laughs. God would prove by a miracle of an impossible birth, a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old male, God would prove his faithfulness and his gracious intent. A miracle child. Abraham took God at his word. He believed his promise. God didn't choose Abraham because Abraham obeyed God. God chose Abraham purely out of his unfathomable grace. God promised that through Abraham, the Savior of the world would be born. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God cut with Abraham. It signified a relationship between God and Abraham, his son Isaac, and his son Jacob, or Israel, that continued down throughout history. God proved his faithfulness to the covenant when he rescued Israel from bondage in Egypt. After setting them free, he gave them the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments were written not primarily as a list of do's and don'ts, but as a description of what God's chosen people would be doing and avoiding. But they didn't describe the lives of God's people. Instead, the Ten Commandments accused them of sin. God was faithful to his covenant, his people were not. Not one circumcised baby grew up to be what God said his people should be. Not one did what God commanded. Every single one of them disobeyed the Ten Commandments. Though they were called by God to be his holy people, they soiled themselves. The sign of circumcision was a sign of God's faithfulness, but no one who received the sign in his body lived in his body the holy life that the sign signified. God was faithful, his people were not. But we Gentiles, non-Jews, we Gentiles are no better. For who among us can point to his life, the life that he lived this past year, and honestly say that the Ten Commandments describe it, right? Consider God's law. Consider what it requires of all mankind. Consider what it demands of everyone. Listen to the words that God inscribed on tablets of stone and gave to his chosen people. First, he says, I am Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who saved you from bondage, right? Yahweh, salvation, Jesus, right there in the Old Testament, conceptually. Now, here's the Ten Commandments. He says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, have you feared our God, or have you feared our leaders? Have you loved God or yourself, your comforts and your things? Have you trusted God or the prevailing opinions of the majority? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you used God's name as an expletive to express your own annoyance? Have you hidden behind your Christian identity to excuse your own sin instead of repent of it? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you skipped church, ignored the word of God, despised pastor's sermon, right? Or consigned it to a back seat while holding your own ways as more valuable than God's ways? Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Fourth commandment. Have you dismissed the wisdom of your parents because you think you know better than they? Have you broken the rules, placing yourself above those who follow them? A common slogan last year was, rules for thee, but not for me. Right? Those are our leaders. We can do that in our own lives too. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Have you ignored the pain of someone you could have helped, but didn't want to bother helping? Have you hated the one who did you wrong? Have you lashed out in anger against those who have hurt you instead of forgiving them? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you broken your wedding vows? Have you looked at someone who was bound to another and wanted that one for yourself? Have you given yourself to pornography and the defilement of your body? Have you done outside of marriage what God insists belongs within marriage? Have you defiled your marriage bed with fantasies and sin-filled thoughts and deeds? Thou shalt not steal. Have you paid all your debts? Or have you expected someone else to do it for you? Maybe your student loans, right? Biden will take care of it. Have you disciplined your own appetites, or have you lived beyond your means? Guilty. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have you enjoyed hearing reports damaging someone's reputation? Have you repeated them? Have you defended their good name, or have you remained silent? Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Have you been satisfied with what God has given you? Have you resented those more prosperous than you? Have you encouraged people in a fight to resolve their disputes or to throw up their hands and run from their relationships? Go ahead and get that divorce, right? Just quit. Just quit your job, right? Give your boss the finger and run. What kind of advice do we give each other? These commandments describe the lives of those who belong to God. Do they describe you? So then, where do you stand? How are things between you and God? As the famous author Henry David Thoreau lay dying, his aunt came to him and asked, "Have you made your peace with God?" He replied, "I didn't know we had quarreled." He is admired for his wit, and witty he may have been, but he was a fool. A fool says he hasn't quarreled with God. A fool says he hasn't disobeyed God. A fool ends one year and enters another, getting older, approaching the end, and remaining a fool. Time heals all wounds. What a lie. Time heals nothing, teaches us nothing, gains nothing, but brings sinners closer to the hour when they must face the judge. Sinners born under the law, the Ten Commandments, right? Sinners are born under this law. The law is for sinners. If anyone had ever been born innocent, he would have been born outside of the jurisdiction of the law. The law has nothing to say to someone who is pure, holy, and without sin. For he does by nature what is good and pure and holy and sinless. What need has he of any law? No need at all. Jesus didn't need the law. He did not need to be circumcised. Why then was he circumcised at the age of 8 days, just like every other Jewish boy who was born in sin? Why should the only innocent child be placed among sinners? He did it for us. Jesus did it to fulfill the law in our stead. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Jesus is the name of our Savior. His circumcision tells us how he saves. And the how is vital for us to understand as we look back on the year ended and look ahead to the year just beginning. The law of God condemns the whole human race. One need not believe in gravity to fall down a flight of stairs. One need not believe in God to face his judgment. You need the forgiveness of your sins because you are guilty before God, and God punishes sinners. You need a Savior who will take away your sins. The circumcision of Jesus is Jesus placing himself under the law. It was a law that applied to sinners, and he had no sin. But he chose to become the substitute for sinners and to do in his holy body what circumcision truly signified. God chose circumcision as the sign of his covenant with his people. God was faithful. He was Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God. He kept every promise he ever gave. But not a man, woman, or child among them kept their side of the covenant. And so what was required of them was blood. This is why Sinai, instead of issuing a description of the holy lives of God's holy people, issued a decree of death upon every single human being born into this world. That is, until this child shed his blood. Jesus' blood changed everything. From the time he first shed his sacred blood at the age of 8 days, he lived the life of God's covenant people. He fulfilled the desire of his Father in heaven. He received his divine nature from the Father in eternity and received his human nature from his virgin mother in time. Now, in the fullness of time, he lived the one and only life of human perfection. He was called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived. He is named Jesus because of his holy work. He saves sinners from their sins. The first work he does is to submit to circumcision. He does in his body what we in our bodies fail to do. He loves his God with a single-minded holiness that permits nothing and nobody to come between him and his Father in heaven. He hallows his Father's name in everything he says and does. He submits perfectly in faith and obedience to God's word. He submits to the authority of his parents, even when they don't know what they as parents should be doing. He loves those who hate him, and he sees the needs of his neighbor, and he helps. He lives a pure and chaste life, perfectly faithful to his bride, the church. He takes only what he has the right to take. He speaks only the truth about his neighbor. He covets nothing, but gives everything. This life that is described, Christ's life, is our life. This is Jesus living our life. This is our God becoming our brother, doing everything required of us, and doing it precisely so that we would receive the credit for it. Here we find our identity as God's children. The promises God gave to Abraham are fulfilled. We are baptized by Christ's authority and in God's holy name, in his name. We are made children of God. The sign of the Old Testament has been replaced by the sign of the new. Circumcising baby boys in anticipation of the perfect obedience of the promised Savior has given way to baptizing baby boys and girls and adults of all ages, that they may be joined to the holy obedience and suffering of Jesus and become God's dear children, righteous in his sight. God's gracious covenant with Abraham has been fulfilled on both sides, on God's and now, for Christ's sake, on man's as well. God became one of us to fulfill our side of it. Jesus obeyed. His obedience is now reckoned to us as righteousness. Our sins are gone. They are covered under the obedience and suffering of him whose name means, I am who I am, the one who saves. My brethren, we enter another year under the shelter of God's grace. God promises it in our baptism. With Father Abraham, our Father, we take God at his word. Jesus' life is now yours. So then, begin this 2022nd year of our Lord with his blessing and in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, we invite forward our congregational officers who have been elected to their positions. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we must devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now to list off our appointed officers. Dave Friedrich has been elected to serve as chairman. Keith Glinky as vice chairman, both in absentia. Suzette has been appointed to serve as our treasurer. Bill in his absentia has been appointed to serve as our elder. Ashley has been appointed to serve as our next board of ed. Aaron Hinkledye as our trustee, and I put him to work on New Year's Eve. He fixed our heater. He just came over and jiggled a little cord, a little wire, and it's back to normal. There's going to be a cold night. So thanks, Aaron. Sally Kurtz, in absentia, has been elected to serve as the financial secretary. Carrie Hinkledye has been elected as our auditor. And the funeral committee is Janine Hinkledye and Becky Huseman. Officers, you have been chosen to fill the specific offices and positions of responsibility here at St. John Lutheran Church. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times. The word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring and admonished are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important to you as office bearers in his church to show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved congregation of the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers here. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of your abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of St. John Lutheran Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty, most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Your labor will not be in vain. That is God's promise. Remember that. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service, especially Rory Payne, Carrie Schmidt, Skylar Radke, Cindy Glinky, Trudy Hinkledye, and Denise Hinkledye. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Officers, go in the name of the Lord, Yahweh, Jesus. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you. Amen. You may return to your seats. Let's give thanks to God for the service of those who have ended their service this past year. So. Thanks to God for all of this. I commend the announcements this week to your reading. And Carrie, I'm sorry I didn't get that in there, but the dartball, I can't think right now. Dartball begins next Monday, the 10th. I apologize, I didn't get that in there. Please see Carrie Hinkledine for more information on that. We continue then with the prayers of the church. So, congregation, please stand and we'll sing the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who in faith, piety, and love come to receive his gifts and praise his name, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Matthew, our Synod President, Stephen, our District President, Bradley, our Circuit Visitor, all pastors and congregations, and our parish, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all families and homes, that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Joseph, our president, Kim, our governor, all our leaders, our legislator, and Congress, those elected and preparing to begin service in our nation and our military, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our catechism students, especially Alex, Owen, Jade, and Tegan, that they may grow in repentance, faith, and holy living, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all women with child and all mothers with infant children, that God would grant them joyful fruition and success, especially Anjali and Hannah, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and sorrowful, for those who mourn, and for all who stand in need of our prayers, especially for all those who are sick in our congregation, for Jean, for Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, Frank, Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory. And seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ,
the body and blood of him who was circumcised and crucified for you, strengthen you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people in Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Forever.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn.
Praise him there, may we pray. praise him there. We're but on holy ground, where the angels singing with all his saints unite, sweetest praises ringing in every joy.